We'll be looking at Genesis 32, verses 22 through 32 today. This is entitled, The Time of Testing. Jacob was facing a serious time of testing. He had left his home behind, and he was about to face a brother he had wronged many years earlier. At this juncture in his life, he needed to seek counsel from the Lord. The fact that Jacob spent the night in prayer is evident in Hosea 12:4. As he entered this time of prayer, Jacob found himself very much alone. All he had was gone: family, servants, livestock, wealth, everything. Jacob was forced to face God all alone. Many people fear this kind of loneliness. People structure their time to be as full as possible. The reason? When we are alone and unoccupied, then we have to come face to face with God. People fear that kind of intimacy with the Lord. Yet the very thing they fear is the very thing that they need the most in their lives. When we are busy, we can occupy the heart and the mind. When we're alone and still, it is easier for us to hear the Lord when He is speaking. Many people tend to fill their lives with busy work so that they can avoid the voice of God. People can even be involved in quote-unquote church work, but yet many times all you're doing is running from the face of God. If we Christians are to be strong in the Lord, then we must find time to be alone with God. The value of a daily quiet time is clearly demonstrated in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He took time to be alone with the Father. In Matthew 14:23, it says, And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Christ was not fearful of being alone with the Lord. We need to be alone with the Lord. Luke 6, verse 12 tells us, And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. This is what happened in the text with Jacob. He was all alone with the angel. He was all alone. You and I should never fear being alone with the Lord. He has good things in store for you. He is wanting to be in an intimate relationship with you. Jacob was alone, yet he was very alive. He was alone, but he was alive. Jacob prayed that night. It appears that he experienced what is known as a theophany. That is, he was privileged to be in a place where the Lord decided to manifest himself in a personal, intimate manner. A theophany is a pre-Bethlehem appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. The angel was unable to overcome Jacob, it says in the text. Of course, we know that God could whip Jacob with just a thought, but he allowed Jacob to fight. Why? To bring Jacob to the place where he was willing to see himself as he truly was. That's why many of us avoid intimacy and being alone with the Lord, because when we do, we will see ourselves as we truly are. At this point in time, Jacob represents the old sin nature, this body of death that believers still carry around. He represents our old sinful nature that is constantly fighting against the Lord. These natures that we are born with are stubborn, they're unyielding, they're fighting, and they have a self-sufficiency about them. The old nature of man is everything that the child of God should not be. We are now indwelt by the divine nature, as it says in Peter. The fact of the matter is, though, that many of us are like Jacob. We fight the Lord at every turn in our lives. God will tell us something is wrong, and that old nature rebels against the Lord's truth. God will tell us that something is right, and our flesh will rise up in defiance against it. May I remind you today that the old nature is to be counted as being dead. You have died to sin, and you're no longer your own. The flesh deserves one thing, and that is to be put to death. We find in Colossians, let's go to Colossians 3, verses 5 through 10. Colossians 3, 5 through 10 tells us this. And now, brothers and sisters, remember, this must be done by faith. Colossians 3, verses 5 through 10. Mortify, therefore, your members. Mortify. Put to death. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Notice, they're upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, lust, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. See, brothers and sisters, that is no longer you. You are a new creature. You used to walk in them. But now, verse 8, but now you also put off all of these. Brothers and sisters, we have to put off. We have to put off the lust of the flesh. But now you also put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Notice, you have put it off. You have been crucified with Christ. You have put off the old man with his deeds. You have to put it off by faith. You have to count yourself as dead to sin, but alive to God. Verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We're being conformed, brothers and sisters, into the image of God. We have to put on the new man. Moment by moment, by faith, we have to count the old man as being dead. We're being renewed in knowledge by the renewing of our mind after the image of him that created him. Brothers and sisters, that's why all things are working together for good to those that love the Lord, because he's using all things to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. So we must put off the old man and put on the new man. You have a new identity, but far too often we forget that we are new creatures and we live like the old creatures. We have become new creatures. Look at Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24. The same principle. That you put off, notice again, a putting off and a putting on. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. That's the old man, brothers and sisters. You are a new creature. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And once again, notice, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You must be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man. Brothers and sisters, we're dealing with an old man and a new man. That's what Jacob was dealing with. The old man and the new man. We are new creatures, and that you put on the new man, which after God, notice, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That is our identity now. We're called upon to reckon the old man to be dead. That's what Romans 6 is all about. However, we have a tendency to drag this corpse around, wouldn't we? With us. Give you an illustration. The Roman practice of taking a convicted murderer into the desert, staking him down, and then laying the corpse of his victim on top of him. Just as the corruption from that corpse would fall upon that guilty man until he eventually died, so our own nature eats away at us, bringing death, destruction, and corruption at every turn. This old body of death is fit for nothing else than death. It doesn't deserve to live. We have to join Paul in exclaiming, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." There is a battle going on, brothers and sisters. We have to put to death the old man. And a matter of fact, the scripture says the old man has been crucified with Christ. But that's how we live a life of faith, moment by moment. We have to count the old man as being dead. You now have a divine nature. I challenge you to ask yourself today, who's alive? Is it yourself, the old man, or the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you constantly find yourself fighting against the Lord? Do you find yourself acting stubbornly when faced with God's plan for your life? Who are you counting to be alive? The old sin nature, the flesh, or the Lord? Jacob got alone with the Lord. Jacob was still very much alive. He was fighting with the Lord. But yet, in this one night in the life of Jacob was the culmination of 20 years of the Lord patiently waiting for Jacob. But unfortunately, him, and especially us today, we want everything instantly. Instant coffee, instant tea, instant grits, instant gratification, instant everything. We want everything microwaved. But yet, we live in the spiritual realm, brothers and sisters, and that is not the way the Lord deals with us. There's one thing for sure. Instant holiness is not available to anyone. It is always the result of prayer, sacrifice, and self-denial. The putting off of the old man and the putting on of the new. A new identity. Seems that God always takes his time in bringing us to spiritual maturity. The Lord gently and patiently leads us along, and he brings us to a place where we can be filled with the Spirit and used for his glory. And this is evident in the life of Jacob. You have to notice that, first of all, here's a broken man. Jacob's no longer fighting. He's merely holding on. It says he was clinging to the angel. He's holding on. If we insist on fighting the Lord and his attempts at growing us, he will eventually bring us to the place where all the fight is gone. You're not going to outfight God. You see, he knows exactly where and how to touch your life to get your attention. God's desire for your life and mine is that we come to the place where we stop walking in our own power and self-sufficiency, and we come to the place where we're dependent on him for everything. That's the whole thing that Christ is teaching us in John 15, verse 5. He tells us, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." That is the opposite of what the old sin nature, this old body of death, thinks. It has a tendency to be self-sufficient. But Christ says, for without me, you can do nothing. But with me, you can do all things. So not only was Jacob clinging, he was also confessing. The angel demands to know Jacob's name. He was forced to admit just who he was. Jacob meant a trickster, a supplanter, a cheater, one who takes you by the heel, or in our terms, one who twists the arm. Jacob had come to the place of seeing himself as he really was before the Lord could use him. That's why many of us don't want to get alone. Because then the Lord will truly show you who you are. That in and of yourself, that you are nothing. And you will never be something with the Lord till you realize that you're nothing in and of yourself. God can't use any of us until we are willing to admit the truth about ourselves to him. God can't use us until we come to the place where we are willing to admit that we are failures and sinners before him, and that we are incapable of anything without him. God has promised to bless those with an honest heart. Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are, notice, a broken spirit. Jacob had to be brought to the place of brokenness. Of brokenness. God brings us to the place of brokenness. The Jacob who left Canaan was capable of deceiving his brother, lying to his blind father, cheating the crooked uncle. But the man who returns is a man with a new nature. No more Jacob the trickster, but Israel, a prince with God. Brothers and sisters, that is what is true of us. We are like Jacob the trickster in our old nature, in this body of death. But now God says we're a friend of his. We're united to Christ. We're seated in heavenly places. We are new creatures. God's purpose in breaking us is always the same. He does it so that he can make us again. That's the whole thing in Jeremiah about the potter and the clay. He doesn't throw us away, but he shapes us and he molds us until we fit the image that he desires us to have. He's always working on us, conforming us into the image of Christ. And the potter, when he has the clay on the wheel, many times it hurts when God's shaping us and molding us and sanding us and pushing and yanking and tugging. He's conforming us into the image of Christ. Paul was worthless until he was broken before the Lord. But yet, once he was broken, the world was touched for Jesus Christ. I wonder what God could do with each one of us if we came to the place where we were totally broken and yielded before the Lord. Jacob was a blessed man, and also after this encounter, he was a branded man. What do I mean? Verse 31 and 32 of our text. Go back to Genesis 32, verses 31 and 32. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. He limped. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Jacob was a changed man after he was a broken man, and he was branded for the rest of his life. Everywhere that Jacob went after that day, He carried the mark of God upon his body when he stood before Pharaoh in Genesis 47. Every step he took reminded him and everyone around him that he was the Lord's, and the Lord had touched him in a very personal manner. And the believer is no different. Look at Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Brothers and sisters, that is where the Father is taking us, that we would be light before men, and they would see you. They would see that we're branded by the Lord, that we've been marked out by the Lord, that we've been sanctified by the Lord. Sanctified means set apart. You're set apart by the Lord for what? That the world would see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We are children of the Lord. We are branded. We're marked out for Christ. We're sanctified for good works before men, so that they would glorify the Father. The walk of the believer is to be different, brothers and sisters. The scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Jacob was a new creature after that encounter with the Lord. That word Penuel means facing God. That's why we like to get busy, because then we can run from the Lord. But the whole thing at Penuel was facing God. Is it not time maybe that you would face God, face to face, come clean with him? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Not going to be. They are passed away. Behold. Get a good look at it. All things are become new. They are. The old is passed away. All things are become new. Not going to be. They have been. Not by faith. You count that to be true. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus. Not going to. You have been reconciled. And now he's given you, to us, the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us, brothers and sisters. He's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. After Jacob came face to face with Christ, everyone knew that he was with the Lord, that he was on the Lord's side. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he made him, Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Brothers and sisters, that is your new identity. Christ became sin for us, so that for this reason, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. And day by day, brothers and sisters, God is working out that practical righteousness in our lives. He will do whatever is necessary. If you come up limp, if you come up lame, whatever it is that the Lord has to do, he will break you. Many believers, they come to Christ and they still play with the world. They still want to live in this world. They still fail to realize their true identity and God is in the business of conforming us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. As I said earlier, that's why all things work together for good. For the good is that we are being conformed into the image of Christ, even as Jacob was. He went from the trickster and the deceiver into the Prince of God. And we, brothers and sisters, in the New Testament, we have gone from those who were the enemies of God, and we have been changed into the children of God. We have been those that lived in sin. That was what you were. You went from one sin to the next. Now, you go from righteousness, from glory to glory, from conforming into the image of Christ day by day, into greater image, into a greater image of Christ day by day. And He has made us ambassadors for Christ. And on that note, let me say, if you're listening today and you've never come to Jesus Christ, I'm speaking to you now as an ambassador for Christ, that God is beseeching you. He's basically, beseech means begging you, by us, to be reconciled to Him. To be reconciled to Him, for all of humanity apart from Christ is dead in their sins and trespasses. But the good news of the gospel is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. Come today to Christ. Be reconciled to God today. For Christ is the one that became sin for us. And the scripture says, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. The good news is, come to Christ, and you shall be saved from the penalty of your sin, which is death, destruction, and hell for all eternity. But it says that you can come to Christ today, and you will be made the very righteousness of God in Christ. My friend, come to Christ today and be saved. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Come to Christ and be saved.